everyone's for this evening's reading, for our meditation. Let's turn to Psalm number 96. Psalm 96. 96. Psalm. O sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful in all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. May God bless our reading this evening. There's a psalm that came to me, and is the thought of worshiping our Lord. And oftentimes we really think about, we come together to worship him. And sometimes the only focus of our worship is our gathering. So it's when we come together that we worship him. And outside of that, maybe we don't give it so much thought. And yet, in this psalm, we have the verse that tells us to worship the Lord. He says, oh, it's a cry. This is a cry that is being made. It says, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And so we think about worship. What does worship then consist of? It is absolutely not possible to worship God outside of holiness. We cannot be breakers of a law of God and worship him. He can't accept that because something is broken. If we consider the lilies, as the word tells us, we consider the flowers and in all of the creation of God, which it tells us it glorifies him. And how does a flower and the beauty of a flower glorify our God? Because that flower was created with a law that it follows. It has no choice. It follows a law. And every part of creation follows the law that God gave it. And as we stare at these items, beautiful flowers and whatever we deemed to be beautiful, as we look at nature, God's creation, as we look at it, it all follows a law. And in the breaking of that law, there would be no beauty there. And there's a law of God that actually brings us to beauty. And if we follow that law, the law of God, We are who He has created us to be. And when we look at God or consider God, we look at Him only as we see Him in Jesus Christ. But as we consider God, and everything about Him is beautiful. There's nothing that is not good. God is good, right? We say that all the time. And everything about Him is beauty. Everything about Him is strength and majesty and glory and power and mercy and love. And so He has a law for all of His creation, and it glorifies Him as it follows the law that it was created in. But the Bible tells us that the pinnacle of His creation was you and me. Far above the flowers of the field that follow His law exactly as He gave it to them. He created man. He created man and He gave man a law. And man broke that law. And in the breaking of that law, everything of the beauty of man turned ugly. The beauty that was in the garden suddenly had disappeared. Man, as his relationship was with God, has been destroyed. And if we think about our worship today, can you and I go through this week without worshiping Him? And I'm not talking about humming a hymn in our thoughts. Just as the psalmist writes here, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." So the worship is holiness. And holiness is beauty. So we can only worship Him in holiness, which is beauty. So the beauty of holiness is how we can worship our Lord. So if this week is spent living for myself, all of God's thoughts towards God are secondary. Nothing is governing my life, but I think it is. But the law of God, as He gave it to me through His Son, Jesus Christ, if that isn't paramount in my heart, then I have dismissed holiness. And yet, I may think that I'm worshiping Him. And outside of the beauty of holiness, He cannot be worshipped. Because if I'm breaking a law, the law of God, and that's the creation of man. He gave man the will to choose. We have a will to choose. Will we worship God, His beauty, and all the words that just came to my mind to describe who He is? Are we going to worship Him? We choose that. We're going to worship Him or not. Man has a choice. But when man chooses to worship Him, just as the flower of the field, he follows a law. And in the following of that law, it brings us to holiness and beauty. And now we, as the flowers, as of all of His creation, we worship Him. And God is pleased. He is glorified and worshiped by those of us who follow His law. And so We have to have a cross. We have to have a cross. Because you and I have been born into sin. And it's not just the dying to self, because Paul talks about, I am crucified with Christ. So if we just stop at that statement, that's leaving him dead. But Paul is continuing, and he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he says, I live. So you and I need our cross. What Jesus tells us, take up your cross. Take it up and follow me. And so as we take up the cross of Christ and follow him to Golgotha, it is the instrument of death. It is the place where you and I must die. The nature that will not follow him, the nature that is broken, that has followed a law that is against God, and that must die. And so Paul says, I am crucified. I died. I died with Christ. And then he says, nevertheless, I live. He says, yet not I. And it's such a wonderful revelation of what truly Apostle Paul is describing, and what we, brothers, sisters, and dear friends, can experience in taking up our cross and as we seek to worship him. So we take up his cross and we die, and yet we don't. Just as it always speaks of Christ having died, it always tells us that he resurrected. And so Paul is saying, you and I will resurrect with him too. And we will live. But it's not us who live. It's Christ who lives in me. And so when Christ is living in me, brothers and sisters, it says, the life which I now live in the flesh. So in other words, now through the cross, I am able to be restored again back to the original purpose of my creation in the flesh. I can now worship God because I have died. This is what Jesus speaks to Nicodemus. You must be born again. Because outside of that new birth, I cannot worship him. And yes, even if I spend 6 days living for myself, and I come to church, and I think I'm going to worship him, I'm not. I'm not worshiping him. I can sing hymns, and actually I can remember hymns. This isn't putting anyone down who knows hymns and can sing every verse and knows the notes and can sing without a hymnal. That's all beautiful. It's all blessings that God has given and gifts that he gives to us. But if I can, as Paul says, I can speak with the voice and the tongues of angels, and if I don't have love, it means nothing to me. So if I can come and I can sing the hymns and I can do everything, and I can be moved with such emotion that I feel, what a blessed day of worship I had today. It was just beautiful. I can feel energized and great. And the next day, I go back to living for myself. Did I worship Lord? No, because I wasn't in the beauty of holiness. I worshiped him with my mouth, which God tells Israel, he says, I'm tired of those. I'm tired of your worship. Because the change never took place in the heart. You can't worship God outside of holiness. And Paul says, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, right now, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. And he gave himself for me. So Jesus loved me. He loves you. He gave himself for me. He gave himself for you. And he doesn't leave us there. He says, come and follow me. Take up your cross. Die to yourself. I'm going to live in you. I'm going to empower you to live a life of holiness so that you could worship the God of all creation. And so man has a choice. Man has a choice. Will he worship him or himself? Paul continues in the last verse of this Galatians 2:20 that I read. He says, I do not frustrate the grace of God for it. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. No, it's not about following a law in which I'm going to do certain things in order to be acceptable to God. It's a dying to ourselves and being born again and living a life with Christ living in me, where he is my beauty. I recognize God for who he is. He's beauty. Everything about him is glorious and majestic. And I worship him. How has Satan deceived us into believing that we can come to the house of the Lord and worship him, but spend our days living in anger, living in gossip, living in lusts, living in lying? And we say, well, God is a God of love. He forgives us. He knows I'm weak. No, he knows we didn't die to ourselves. We are weak, and we can do nothing outside of him. That's why Paul said, I live, but not me. Christ lives in me. And so we have, as this cry is made, he says, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. What are his wonders? What are the wonders that we know of Christ? That he came to die for our sins and our iniquities. He took our sin upon him. He died for you. We need to tell the heathen, those around, they need to see within us that Christ is living. Or I'm not worshiping him. Bless his name. And show forth his salvation from day to day. Every day, not on Sundays. Show forth his salvation, that he has saved me by his grace. And day to day, I declare his glory. How? In holiness. In holiness. Which is beauty. Outside of holiness, there is no beauty in our worship. And so, in this psalm that we have read, dear ones, we are brought to a cry, a plea, give unto the Lord the glory that is due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Those offerings come from our hearts. As Paul says, you can put your money and you can help the poor and you can give it all. But if you don't give his heart, if you don't give your heart to the Lord, because when you do, you've given your heart to the one you love. And so, with love, we worship him, because love brings us to who he is. And so we see here, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering. Bring our hearts, our sacrifices that are well-pleasing unto him. And come into his courts and worship him. Dear ones, we have We have many, many things to distract us, many, many things to draw us away. And is that an excuse? Is that something that we can say, well, Lord, you know, you put me in an environment where there is just so much evil all around me and the temptations, and it's just not possible to please you in all things. And it's just really Satan who is filling our thoughts with those thoughts that we can truly worship him outside of holiness. We have to consider our life, look back on our days, dear ones. Because it tells us here in the verse 13, it says, he cometh, for he cometh. So it says, let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. There is rejoicing in knowing that he is coming. And yes, even this should not cause us to fear when he says, for he cometh to judge the earth. We say, well, yes, that does make me fear. But maybe it's because I'm not worshiping him in the beauty of holiness. And he says, he shall judge the world with righteousness. That which is right, the judgments will be right. And all we can say is, amen. God's law is so beautiful that if you and I are not saying hallelujah and amen to his laws, then we don't know him. And we don't want to know him. And so his law is not grievous. It's not, we don't do it dejectedly. We don't, okay, I have to do this, or I should. I better do this, or God's not going to be happy with me. And so we're establishing our own righteousness. And Paul says, then Christ died in vain. Then you're saying that your goodness is going to be accepted by God. And he didn't need to send his son. And so he says, he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. God is a God that never changes. He is a God of truth. He cannot lie. And he is going to judge the people with his truth, and it will be righteous judgment. Outside of truth, he can't judge us. He is holy. And the angels in heaven are crying before his throne, holy, holy, holy. And they worship him. And they are at his beck and call. When he tells them, go, they go. They do what he asks them to do. You and I, are we doing what God is calling us to do? To be a witness, to declare his glory among the heathen, to worship him in the beauty of holiness, to be able to say amen to every part of his law. Let it be your will, Lord. Amen. That's what we must say when we learn of him and come to know who he is. And so, dear ones, it's my prayer that this evening, as we have read these short verses of I believe, great enlightenment for us to really ponder upon and consider, that you and I have been given a choice. And the choice is, will we worship him or not? Because we can say, will we follow him? Will we be baptized? Will we become his children? And will we worship him or not? To worship him is, as Jesus says, be ye holy as I am holy. Then and only then can we worship him. And it is beauty, because holiness is beauty, and beauty is holiness. What is beauty other than holiness? That's who God is. And so we also must recognize his beauty, his splendor and majesty, and not be deceived to think I can go before his beauty and his throne, choosing not to worship him in holiness, and still feel that he has to accept me. So may God bless his word upon each one of our hearts this evening. Dear ones, that we would truly consider our own lives in light of what we have been or what we have learned of him. None of us would ever know who God is unless Jesus came to reveal him. Jesus came, he showed us a life. And he says, follow me and learn of me. And then each one of us, dear ones, will be able to worship him in the beauty of holiness. A choice that we will make that will bring God glory and honor. And that the heathens will see that we glorify our God.
The verse that was shared was, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The verb being worship, that being an action word, that being what we would do. The Lord Jesus Christ was tempted, and the devil showed him all the kingdoms and of the world and the glory of them. And the devil said to him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. It is the Lord that we worship, and him only, not the glories of this world, not the kingdoms of this world, not anything that this world would have to offer, but that we would worship the Lord our God, and him only would we serve. The Bible also says that we should follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. In that beauty of holiness, that beauty of being separated, that beauty of being undefiled, that beauty of simply being set apart to the glory of the Lord, as all his creation is. To man he gave free will. And we are to worship the Lord, and him only shall we worship. And we shall worship him in that beauty of holiness. May God give us grace day by day. Amen.